I tell you what, I have. It's been an interesting day and a half here. I will just say that because
yesterday we ended up going to the hospital, and she was having pain in her side and stuff, and she and I are very much alike because she's laying in the hospital bed going, I feel so stupid. We should just go. And I'm like, okay, if you can get up out of the bed and actually walk 10 feet, then we'll go. But she could not do that. And so we're both kind of the same cloth. We hate sitting around. She's laying there going, I feel so stupid. And I'm sitting there going, man, I wish I brought my Bible because I got nothing to do here right now. So after a while, I realized I do have a Bible. I have a Bible on my phone. And so I picked out my phone. And of course, I started working through it and looking at the passage that I was going to be preaching on today. Well, the trouble is I've been working all week long out of my NIV Bible, and normally I take other Bibles and compare the different versions and stuff like that. And I didn't have time to, I probably had time, but I just didn't do it this week. And so I'm sitting in the hospital yesterday looking on my phone at the two different versions, which is the King James Version and the NASB, and it has a different translation of this passage. It just got me. So the passage we're looking at, it's one of the parables of Jesus. And this is a neat thing about parables. Is parables, unless Jesus explains them like he does some of the other parables, like the parable of the soils and the parable of the tares and stuff like that, he's telling a story, and the story represents a greater truth. The thing is, when you're telling things in parables, that greater truth can be up for interpretation of what's going on in that parable, in that story. Because I can tell you a little story, but then if I don't tell you the greater truth, the meaning of that story, it can kind of, Mark can have one interpretation and Josie can have another interpretation of that parable, and we can all take it in different ways. And I always, I believe there is one meaning that God has for each one of these parables when Jesus takes it. And I'm not saying that we can't get good out of other interpretations. So here's what happened to me. I was reading this parable all week long in one vein, in one translation, and then when I looked at it yesterday, it just threw me for a loop. Here's the parable we're looking at. It's in Matthew chapter 13, and it's just one little verse. That's all I'm preaching on today, is one little verse, verse 33. So Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Very short little parable. So simple, so very simple. But yet, wow, just an amazing little verse. He told them still another parable, it says in verse 33. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked through all the dough. Okay, so that's my NIV translation. Probably the one that you're reading on the back of the screen, right? So it says, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. So all week long, I've been working on the assumption that this yeast was just mixed into the flour. No big deal. Then I read these other translations yesterday, and I know they're out there right now. So what's the big difference if you have another translation you're reading out of? I know Troy does. He never likes my NIV. So Troy, what does your translation say? Yes. Okay, if you didn't hear that, because he didn't have a mic on like I do, and I don't want him to have a mic. No. So, it's like leaven, which leaven and yeast are basically the same thing. But his translation says the woman hid in three pecks or three measures of flour. And I don't know why that bothered me so much yesterday that I'm sitting there in the hospital, and all of a sudden, there's a difference between hid and mixed. It seems like there's a different agenda maybe going on in the mix of that. And so all day yesterday, I was studying this entire passage from a whole different angle, a whole different realm than what I'd studied it all week long. And it was just wild. And so this morning I came in, Nathan's back there smiling going, oh man, where are you going? What are you going to do? He still doesn't know. I'm not sure if I know exactly where I'm going. So all morning long, I've been in this fight because you can look at it from one idea, from hid, and look at it from an infiltration. There's an infiltration of yeast. Or you can take a look at it from the idea that it was mixed in, that it was a part of. It's a good thing. Because hid kind of has, does everyone agree with me? Hid kind of has a negative connotation to it, and mixed kind of has a positive connotation to it. And the problem that I had throughout this, and why I'm struggling so much, and even still internally a little bit I'm struggling, when you talk about yeast in the Bible, all right, when you talk about yeast or leaven, every place, every other place except right here in Matthew 13, 33, every other place is talked about or looked about almost in a negative light, okay? The first idea that we have about yeast is when the Exodus is coming and God, you know, they're doing the Passover and he says, you are to sweep all of the yeast. You're supposed to get all of the yeast out of your house. Every crumb, every morsel, every piece of yeast is supposed to be gotten out of your house, and you're supposed to make bread without yeast and all these different things. As a matter of fact, it was so serious, it says, if they don't do it, you should put them to death, it says in Exodus, if they don't get all the yeast out of their house. And so yeast, as everyone interprets it, is the idea of sin, okay? And God is saying, I'm getting prepared to do something. Ooh, sorry about that. I'm getting prepared to do something with you. I'm going to take you to a new place. I'm going to take you to a new realm. And I want you to cleanse yourselves, your households, and everything about you. I want you to get all the leaven out, or all the yeast, or all the sin out of your life. And then also the idea of making bread without yeast is the idea that we're going to do this. It's coming. And I want you to take care of it. We're going in haste. And we're going to work a miracle in your life, and it's going to happen quickly. And so we don't have time to let the yeast rise. We don't want to let the yeast rise. We don't want the sin to come back into our lives and get a foothold back in our lives. We're going to leave the yeast behind, and we're going to get away from this quickly. And yeast, even Jesus later on in Matthew chapter 16, when he talks about yeast, he says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the hypocrisy and the different things. And so Jesus is warning against yeast. And so, all week long when I was struggling, I was looking at this yeast in a positive light, that yeast is permeating, the kingdom of heaven is permeating and stuff, and I was thinking, wow, this is really different. But that's okay. I think I'm coming down on that's okay because Jesus does that all the time. Am I confusing you? I hope not. Hang in with me here, okay? It's okay because Jesus does this all the time. He takes the things, the assumptions, the preconceived ideas, the prejudices that we have in our hearts and in our minds, and he likes to take those and he likes to place them out in front of you and allow that prejudice to rise up, and then he likes to go, ha! I'm flipping it over, because he used to do like this. He'd take, there was a Samaritan, and every, you know what I'm saying? The Samaritan, and everyone in their minds back then were thinking, oh, those dirty, rotten Samaritans, they're no good thieving, you know, terrible people. And then all of a sudden he takes a Samaritan, and he says, you know what? The Samaritan is a hero of the story. And everyone goes, what do you mean they're the hero? You know what I'm saying? Jesus does that all the time in his teaching. He takes a cripple or the one who shouldn't be in the temple, and he raises them up. To say that he's not doing it right here in this parable. You see, yeast is a funny thing. And yeast is something that they used all the time. And we use it all the time now, but we don't really realize what it is and what it does. And so I'm going to give you a little lesson on yeast. I brought some. Kathy doesn't know it. She's in the hospital. So I stole some yeast out of the cupboard. And yeast is an interesting thing. I hope I don't ruin food for some of you today, but do you realize that yeast is a living organism? How many of you knew that? It is a wow, I'm the only dumb one in this whole room. Okay, I'm not ruining anything for anyone but me. No. Yeast is a living organism that's basically in a state of sleeping. It's like sleeping, okay? It's in a sleeping state, okay? So yeast is something that you add to other ingredients to make it come alive. And it's really interesting because they use yeast in bread. They use yeast in making wine and beer and all these different things. And yeast is a really interesting one organism thing that what it does, it eats the sugars. This is kind of gross, but as I understand it, I should read it because I printed it out so I didn't want to mess it up. But as I understand this process, the yeast gets into this other stuff like flour or into the grape juice or all these different things or whatever that you put yeast in, and it starts eating, basically. It comes alive, and it starts to eat the sugars that are in this. Am I right in this, Karen? Okay. And as it eats, like any of us, as we eat something, something happens to us, right? We digest it, and then we discrete. You know what I'm saying? Well, the discretion of the yeast, basically it has gas, as I understand it. Andrew's sitting there going, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's saying this. But basically, the yeast eats the sugar of the protein, digests it however it does, and then it goes like this. It just kind of, it lets out carbon dioxide is basically what it is. It lets out a little little thing of carbon dioxide, and that carbon dioxide or that gas, the gas that the yeast has, Dave's going, oh my gosh, Dad, you're embarrassing me again. So he's talking about farts in a sermon. This is terrible. So the yeast lets out a little carbon dioxide, and the carbon dioxide gets caught in the bread or the flour or whatever, and it creates an air bubble, and that's what makes bread rise, okay, because of all the yeast toots in the bread. So it toots, the bread rises. This is kind of cool. It rises, all right, and it will continue to rise. It continues to go there. And same thing with wine. When we put the yeast in the wine, the bubbles, when you open a bottle of champagne or a bottle of wine or a can of beer or something like that, and it bubbles up, that's all the yeast toots is what it is all the carbon dioxide that's coming out. Pretty cool, huh? So what's Jesus saying when he's talking about the yeast? The yeast. It's an interesting thing that he talks about when he says this here, because he says the kingdom of heaven is like yeast or leaven that a woman took and mixed or hid into a large amount of flour. Okay, now there's something important that you got to understand here. If I just take this dried yeast, and I'm not going to rip it open because I don't know what it's going to do. I don't want it tooting all over me. But if I take this yeast and open it up, it's this dry. I can hear it in there. Can you hear it in there? If I put it next to my, can you hear it? It's kind of shaking around. It's dry. It's like a sand or a powder inside there. So I can take this yeast, I can tear it open, and I can have a large thing of flour. And what they're talking about is like a half a bushel of flour is what they're talking about. I could take this yeast, put it in the flour, just mix it in with the flour, and guess what? There'll be no tooting going on. No tooting from the yeast. Because the dry yeast is in with the dry flour, and it's just hidden there. It's just sitting there waiting for the right circumstance, the right conditions, the right environment for it to start doing its little tooting job. Okay? Now, what do you mean the kingdom of heaven is like yeast mixed into flour? There's an interesting passage that came to my mind, and I don't know if other people have made this connection. Maybe it's a wrong connection, but it's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I really like this passage. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning verse 9, says, "What does a worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men." Verse 11 says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time." And then there's a period, and he says, "He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end." You know what that says to me? And it's kind of the same thing that we've got going on in this song. That passage is saying the same thing to me as what Jesus is saying in the parable. He's saying, God has mixed the yeast, the single organism, the Lord your God is one, okay, the single cell organism into the flour, okay? He's mixed it into the flour. God has set eternity into the hearts of all men. He's set this open space in their hearts, in their being, in their soul that can only be filled with God, that can only be activated, that can only be made alive with God. He set it inside each one of us, whether we believe in God, whether we're atheists, whether anything. And it just amazes me. It just amazes me how many people who are not Christians, who are atheists, who are don't believe in God or whatever, when push comes to shove, when the deathbed, I God's not dead, the guy who was vehemently against God and so on and so forth, when he's laying on the pavement at the end of the show, what is he thinking about? He's thinking about God. He's thinking about his eternity. You see, when we get that close to God, when we're almost right there, getting ready to meet him, all of a sudden that space that God placed in our hearts, put eternity in our hearts, all of a sudden it starts getting filled with God, whether we want it to or not, because we're thinking about him. We're got to meet him. God places that eternity in each one of us, that desire to know him. That yeast is the same type of thing. God's placed it in there. But see, yeast can't just sit in flour. It's just going to be another dry substance with the flour. You see, yeast needs, and someone correct me if I'm wrong, but yeast needs moisture. Is that right? It needs moisture, and it needs warmth. Okay? Is that right? And sugar. It's got to have those things to feed on to make the tooth. So it needs those two things. It needs the water, it needs that moisture, and it needs heat. Okay? But not a great deal of heat. And it can't be too cold. I got to thinking about yeast. This is a really amazing stuff because you can mix it into the flour with the sugar and the salt and stuff like that. You can put the water in. You can mix it all up. It'll start doing its little thing, and then all of a sudden you can throw it in the freezer, and it just, it stops. It doesn't kill it, but it just stops. Is that right? It just stops eating. It stops tooting. It stops rising. It stops infecting, or not infecting, but permeating through the dough. And the reason I know that is because we don't make bread at our house. I wish we did. We used to make bread when we were in Haiti. That was like the best bread ever, it seemed like. Every day we'd make fresh bread. We don't do that here. I don't know why. But Kathy now, instead of making fresh bread, she buys fresh bread that's frozen. And I'm not dissing her or anything like that. She buys the frozen bread, you know what I'm talking about? You just take it out of the freezer and you put it in a pan and you let it sit there for a while and it rises up, and then you put it in the oven and you got fresh taste and baked bread. But that yeast has to have that warmth. It has to have the right environment in for it to activate. People are the same way. You see, God has set eternity in the hearts of men. But they need the right environment for that eternity to grow, that knowledge, that love, that yeast to permeate their lives. They need the Holy Spirit, that water, the washing of water, activate that spirit that lives within them. And not only does he need the Holy Spirit, but he also needs the right environment, the warmth. Not just the water, but he needs the warmth. You know where the warmth comes from? It comes from, this is going to sound really ironic to many people, especially to the world right now that don't know God, but they need the water, but it needs the warmth. The warmth comes from, in my mind, the church. It should come from us. It should come from the love of fellow Christians coming together, fellowship with one another, encouraging one another, admonishing one another, rubbing up against each other in our lives and in our fellowship and loving and serving with one another. That's where that warmth comes from. But you see what happens in the church, if we aren't a loving body, the warmth isn't there. And we go into a dormant state. The yeast might be in there, the spirit might be in there, but we're not in a warm environment, we're in a cold environment. And so we just sit there. And we don't grow. And we don't rise. And sometimes we're isolated in the cold refrigerator with the light off. And we're not learning. And we're just sitting there. Just waiting for the right environment, that right warmth to come in. Church, understand this. We need to be the love of Christ in the world. We need to show that love in such a way that yeast that God has planted in the flour can be activated, can start permeating into your lives. And it does. It doesn't just attack your whole life and change everything. Yeast slowly makes its way through the bread of life into your life. It starts first affecting maybe your Sunday morning habits. No longer you just sleep in on Sunday morning and, you know, roll out of bed and make your oatmeal and have an orange juice and sit and watch the, I don't know what's on Sunday mornings. I have no idea. I'm always here so early. The TV isn't even usually on when I get here. So I don't know what, you know, maybe that was your Sunday morning habit. Maybe the yeast first permeates your Sunday morning habit. And maybe then it starts to permeate your language. Maybe you stop cussing as much. Or maybe then it starts permeating your thoughts. Or maybe it starts permeating your attitude about your job. Or maybe that yeast starts to permeate into your relationships and you start cutting some off that are hurting you and you start making new relationships. Or maybe it starts permeating your finances and how you look at money and why God gave you the blessings that you've got. Or maybe it starts permeating all different aspects of your life. He doesn't overwhelm us. The yeast doesn't just come in and go, like, that's really bad, isn't it? I wasn't planning that at all. It just came out. It, yeah. That's just horrible. Man, that's going to be out on the internet and everything. That's bad. It's not just one big explosion. It's a whole bunch of little, you know what I'm saying? It's a whole bunch of little ones that start continually getting into our lives in different ways. It starts changing us from the inside out. That's kind of neat. The neat thing about yeast is, too, as it grows, you can take a little bit of that bread. I know you guys, what they call it, Amish bread or friendship bread or something like that. You cannot just use dry yeast, but you can actually take a little piece of that growing live organism and you can share it with other people. You know what that's called? It's called evangelism. Taking a little bit of the change that's happening in you and getting to share it with the people around you. It's so cool. And you might think, oh man, I'm going to miss that piece. But you know what? If you allow God to continue to grow, if you have this loaf of friendship bread, okay, and everyone's like, man, I can't get rid of this stuff. It just keeps growing and growing. Yes? Does anyone agree with me? It just keeps growing. You can't get rid of it. So many people think, man, if I start sharing, you know, this piece with them, and then, you know, I'm not going to have enough for myself. That's not how it works. The more you share, the more you break off, the more you pass out, the more that yeast, that kingdom of God grows inside of you. The more it permeates, the greater it gets, the more effective it becomes in your life. It's really cool. One more thing you need to know about yeast. What finally kills it? There's something that finally kills yeast. And this isn't a bad thing. I'm not hesitating because it's a bad thing. But there's a point in time that yeast will finally die. Because I don't know a lot about it. You bakers know a lot bit more. But I guess it will continue to grow. You continue separating it, giving it more sugar, more flour, and it just continues to grow. But there's a point in time that the yeast is going to stop and it's going to die. Okay? And one of the things that makes that yeast die completely and can never be reactivated or anything like that again is heat. That's why you take the bread and you put it in the oven. And once you put it in the oven, it gets to a certain temperature. I don't know what the temperature is. Once you put it in the oven and it gets to a certain temperature, the yeast all dies and just you got the air bubbles there. You got the flour there. You got all the good stuff there, and it just ceases. It's in its permanent state right then. And I got to thinking about that and how it works, because as long as we're here on this earth, the kingdom of God has the opportunity to work through us. We got the opportunity, the Holy Spirit, if we allow it to, if we don't cool it off so much that it just sits there and goes, it has the opportunity to continue permeating all through our lives, continue to make a difference in our lives. But there's going to be a point in time where there's going to be an applied heat that's going to stop it all. And we're going to be in our permanent state. And that heat is judgment. One day, we're going to be put, and this is going to sound a little bit weird, but every one of us, even as Christians, we're going to be put in the oven for just a moment, okay? It doesn't take long. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God. Every one of us. Some of you are thinking, well, I'm just going to skip that part because I got Jesus. Yeah, you're going to be okay because of Jesus, but you don't get to skip the judgment seat. Every one of us is going to stand before God, and every one of us is going to have every part of our life, every thought, every action, every attitude laid bare before us. And the heat is going to be on. And the yeast is going to stop. And we're going to have an opportunity to be locked in. Now you can be locked in with Jesus and for eternity have a being that is going to be glorified with Christ in heaven. Or you can be locked in a very unpleasant place. But that day comes for each one of us when the heat is applied, when the judgment seat of God stands before us, and we will give an account. But in the meantime, how is your yeast growing? Where are you at right now? Honestly, it's kind of an exciting thing to know that the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit, His purpose for my life, eternity, is set within me. It's been hidden within me. And it has the opportunity to grow and to affect every part of who I am, my thoughts, my actions, my attitudes, my giving, everything that I am. It has the opportunity to affect it and glorify God. It has the opportunity to grow not just within me, but also to the people around me. Are you allowing that yeast, that kingdom of God, to grow in you? To change the world? There's a really neat passage. It gave me new meaning to it. It's in Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm done here. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, I got to back up a little bit because I can't start in the middle of a sentence. Where do I back up to? Let's back up to verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, this is Paul writing. He's praying for the Ephesians. He says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family... Now I've just got all these little yeast things running around my mind. I don't know what's going on. His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit... I'm sorry, it gives me a whole new meaning. Power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Verse 20, now... to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. I know I'm in the same place. His power, the yeast that is working in us, and it's permeating our lives. It's growing. You hear that? That works within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So, a couple decisions you need to make this morning. And don't go away. Don't go away without realizing it. Realize that God has hidden eternity in your hearts. He has. When push comes to shove, when it's all on the line, you are going to acknowledge that there is a God, if you haven't already, okay? If you haven't made that decision to trust Him, to put your faith in Christ Jesus, today's a great day to do that, to allow that yeast to receive the water, the moisture that it needs to get activated in your life. Just to start moving. But realize that just that Holy Spirit, as wonderful, and it is good, it is complete, is what we need, but that Holy Spirit also needs the fellowship. It needs that warmth of the body. And again, this is the hardest part for me because sometimes the body is so cold. That's what Diane was talking about when she asked for that prayer request. You know what? So many people are so discouraged in the world today. You know why they're so discouraged? It's not because of all the rotten things that are happening in the world. It's because of the rotten things that are happening around them, because they don't feel the love of the Spirit, of the truth, of the church surrounding them. You see, so many people believe in God. They believe in Jesus. But the warmth of the church, the love that the church should be sharing and coming alongside them and loving them, is not there. They feel rejected. They feel outcast. They feel like they don't belong. And honestly, it's because of a lot of the judgment that we put on people. I heard a really neat illustration. I told you I was going to be done. Anyway, I'll do that later. They need the warmth of fellowship, of serving with one another. I honestly believe that's one of the areas of the church. And when I say the church, I don't just mean Walnut Community Bible Church. I mean the church as a whole is hurting in so badly. Is the opportunities to come together and to serve, to fellowship, to rub up against one another. And yes, it can get messy. Yes, it's a wonderful opportunity. The church is a wonderful opportunity to practice forgiveness. That's it. I think that's why God created the church, so that we could practice forgiveness. Because your toes are going to get stepped on if you go to church. You are going to get upset. Someone is going to offend you. Things are going to happen that does not seem like it's God's plan. So guess what? That is God's plan. He wants you to learn about grace. He wants you to learn about forgiveness and mercy. You want to know why he wants you to learn about that? Because that's what he's all about. He wants you to realize how much he has forgiven you. He wants you to realize how graceful he is towards you. He wants you to know how much he loves you. It's not just a verbal thing. It's something that you have to experience. Are you sitting in the refrigerator right now, not letting the yeast bubble do its thing? Are you just sitting there thinking, oh, poor me. Maybe someday I'll rise. Maybe someday I'll get bigger. But not now. I just want to be in the refrigerator. Let me tell you, cold dough tastes good to no one. Red popsicles, not so hot. Maybe today you just may make a decision that I'm just going to get out of the fridge. I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to bump against other people. I'm going to fellowship. I'm going to serve. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to love. I'm going to be graceful. Well, not graceful. Yes, graceful. And I'm going to warm up. I'm going to let all that stuff go, and I'm going to warm up. I'm going to let God start percolating in my life. I'm going to let them start changing every part of who I am. I want them to the ends of my fingertips, to in my ears, in my head. I want God to be everywhere in my life. I want him to affect every aspect of who I am. And I want to experience all that he has for me. That's what the kingdom of heaven is about. Knowing God more fully, having a greater amount of his grace and love permeate your life. So you get to decide. You know, Nathan, I'm going to tell you, this is between you and I right at the moment, but everyone gets to listen. Did I just wake you up? Did I? Were you back there sleeping? Because you had your head down when I said your name, you popped up like, oh, where am I at? You're going to say you're praying, aren't you? I tell you what. All right. You made the decision for me, Nathan, when because I honestly wasn't sure which sermon I was going to preach this morning. But this song, I Am New, I would like to sing the song again, is what I'd like to do. And I'd like you to sing it now, this time, from the perspective of yeast. Okay? I know that sounds a little bit silly, but it's not. Because I was sitting back there in the corner, and we started singing the song, and I was still struggling with the decision of which way I was going to go with this message this morning. And this song, when you sing it from the perspective of yeast, I'm sorry, but you can't help but smile. You can't help but be encouraged and see that this song was made to go with this message this morning. It's amazing. I'm not going to explain it. I'm just going to let you sing this song again. Actually sing it. Don't sit there and go. No, don't do that. Sing the words think about them from the perspective of yeast and then act and make a decision accordingly this morning. Let's stand as we get ready to sing this song.